This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
It's a terrifying story if you take the time to sit down and read it. I've been on several cruises. The boats were big. You don't worry about a boat that big sinking. It seems too big to sink until you get out into the middle of the Gulf of Mexico and you realize that the ocean is a lot bigger than the boat. And still, you have all the lifeboats. You got the life preservers and the drills and everything else to assure you that even if the worst were going to happen, you would be safe. Not so in the first century when you're in the middle of the Mediterranean and you don't have all those things. You're in a wooden boat and it's driven by the wind, and a storm comes that has a real possibility of destroying the boat. In fact, it does. And yet, somehow, God preserves these people, including St. Paul, through this great storm. We're going to be talking about that with Deaconess Pam Nielsen for the next half hour of the program. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. And their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pastor. Great talking to you.
It's a little difficult to call this preservation when Paul and all the other people on this boat almost die.
You're right, but they don't die, and that's the point. In everything that happened to them, this was an incredible storm, their boats breaking up, there were all kinds of things that went on. They should have died. They didn't die. God was with them. God preserved them. God assured them through Paul that he would preserve them. And they came out on the other side, not a single one lost, not a single one, not a prisoner escaped, nobody died. It doesn't even talk about anyone being hurt, although they were a little hungry, I think. It is a story of preservation, and it's a story that, for the people involved, becomes not just a traumatic account for them, but an opportunity to witness God's power, God's work, God's protection, connected to his believers. And all of them, 276 on that boat, they weren't all believers, few were. Now they see the one true God, and it is a cause to get their attention and make a way for the gospel to be heard.
Well, it is a remarkable story told with equally remarkable detail. I imagine that people who study ancient, the craft of mariners, would probably be fascinated by the details that Luke includes in this account. Tell us the story. It begins, ironically, with Luke saying that the south wind was blowing gently.
That's right. They got in the boat, and that's exactly what Luke notes, that it seems favorable for them to take out. And one of the things you mentioned about ancient mariner stories, this is one of few that is this detailed. And I got to tell you, I love these ocean stories. And, you know, I'd love to see this in a movie, you know, like Master and Commander or something, because it is so detailed. But it starts out with the south wind blowing gently, as you say. They're sailing along Crete, close to shore, wisely, you know, in case something blows up. But then it says a tempestuous wind, the northeaster, and we know about those in places in our coastlines, strikes down from the land. So it raced down off of Crete, and the ship could not face the wind. It was so windy. They were so tossed about, and they were powerless to control their ship. And they run along the lee of a small island, trying again to get out of the storm, trying to be safe, and they finally are able to get a little bit of security with the ship's boat. They hoist it up. They wrap supports around it so that the storm doesn't break up the ship. Then they worry about being run aground. It's just a perilous thing, and these things just keep going on. Storm-tossed, violent winds, waves. Talks about how they threw off cargo. The third day, they throw over the ship's tackle. And then, in verse 20, amazing here, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. So it was such a storm, day and night, that they could not tell if it was day or night for many days. At that point, all hope of them being saved, they all gave up. And they'd been without food, and Paul tells them, men, you should have listened to me and not set sail. He actually said, we shouldn't take this trip, but they went ahead and took it. And then he says, but now I urge you, here at this point where they've lost all hope, I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. So God has allowed Paul to know this and to speak prophetically here to them. And Paul backs this up. It's not just him saying it. He says, for this very night there stood before me an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So he tells them this. Look, we're going to be fine. And so he tells them, take heart. And we're going to run aground, but, you know, we're going to be okay. And so 14 nights have come. They're being driven about. And they start to think that they're nearing land, and they get a little bit closer and closer. They're measuring the depth of the sea, and then they decide to put their anchors down so they don't hit rocks. And interesting here that the sailors, the experienced sailing ones running it, handling the boat, are so frightened that they just want to jump off and get out of there. And Paul tells the soldiers, you know, they have to stay. We have to have everybody on this boat or we can't be saved. And so they don't let them get away. And then Paul tells them, you know, eat. It's the 14th day. You're hungry. You haven't eaten for days. And they do that. And then they get rid of wheat on the boat. And they think that this was probably a grain boat that was moving grain from where it was grown to a place where it could be distributed. So they have that on there. They threw it out into the sea, and then they have their shipwreck, and they're stuck. The water's breaking up the back of the boat. They're aground on a reef. And the soldiers then, because they've got these prisoners on board, they want to kill them, because for them to lose a single prisoner by escape is, you know, bad news for a Roman soldier. So they don't want them to swim away, but the centurion and Paul keep them from carrying this out, and they order everyone who can swim overboard, and they get to land, all of them, and some of them float, some of them swim, and they make it safely. And that is this incredible story. in a couple seconds here, I guess, what was a long, scary, horrible journey on the sea.
We're talking about, you know, 2 weeks of this, and
yeah.
There's this one of the prisoners that I'm sure that the crew of the ship didn't know from anyone else. It's saying, I've seen an angel, and my God says that we're all going to be saved, and none of us are going to be harmed. And you've got, like you said, the experienced soldiers are ready to abandon ship. This is all contrary to every bit of evidence that people on the ship must have witnessed day in and day out for those 14 days.
That's exactly right. And that's what makes this just so incredible. And you see God, you know, working here. Of course, we can look back on it and know how the story turned out. But God, you know, he had to be working in the hearts of these men who heard what Paul said, who heard God's words spoken by him to pay attention to a prisoner, not to the captain of the ship who ought to know, not to the old salts on the ship who've many times been in storms on this same sea, but to a prisoner, and they listen, and God does preserve them, although it's a storm, and it's scary, and they've, and points as, you know, it says they've given up hope, and it's really quite a lesson, I think, for us, and the thing that we want to bring out with these kids this week in Sunday school, how God preserves. This isn't a glory theology where Paul says, hey, you know, I'm gonna stop this storm, and we're going to cruise right into the harbor, no sweat. There was some sweat. there were some sick stomachs. There were hungry stomachs. There were frightened hearts and souls. There, everything that they could imagine, to the point of giving up all hope of surviving it. God allowed it to get that bad, but faithful to his promise that he made through Paul that no one would perish. Our lives are like that sometimes.
Well, when we come back from this break, it does. It can get just that bad, where everything I think about that that hymn, when all supports are washed away, the ship underneath your feet breaking into pieces. You are thrown, whether you want to or not, whether you can swim or not, into the sea, and yet somehow, in the end, God's promise is true, and he is true to it, and he brings you safely through, not completely unscathed. Remember, these people went 14 days in a storm in the sea, being driven by the wind beyond their control. In the end, it destroys the ship, not unscathed at all, but alive and safe. Now, that is remarkable. When we come back, we'll talk more with Deaconess Pam Nielsen about God preserving through a storm. It's Acts 27, beginning at verse 13 through 44. The story actually goes on after that, but we have to talk a little bit more about these storms and giving up all hope. We'll be right back.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest on this Monday afternoon, August the 23rd. We're talking about the Very familiar story of St. Paul and his shipwreck. In fact, Paul tells us elsewhere that this isn't the only time he was shipwrecked. He had some experience with these things, but of course it wasn't experience that brought Paul and all those on the boat with him through. It was, in fact, God's promise. Pam, I wanted to talk about something that this story highlights in just great and high relief, and that is giving up hope. There's a sense in which these people on this boat are forced to give up one kind of hope and take up another kind of hope. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, they do have to give up hope in their abilities completely. There is nothing they can do, nothing humanly possible to survive this. Their ship that they thought was so sturdy is breaking apart. Their ability to get the ship steered and in the right wind and headed the right way so that they wouldn't be tossed apart, they have not that ability. The storm is too great for them. Everything they tried doesn't work. And so from a human standpoint, they did what the only thing they could do, give up hope. And most of these 276, maybe all but one or two, Paul and his mate, didn't know a God, a loving God, didn't know the true God, the God who saves. So they're doing the only thing they can do, giving up hope. And Paul calls upon the one true God, hears from that God, preaches his word to these people, and that word has its effect. That they listen, they take notice. At that point, what else are you going to do? You can give up hope, but maybe there's something to hope in. Do they have true faith? I don't know. But they sure see that there is something bigger, greater than themselves. And then in the end, they see that there is a one true God who saves them from this awful storm and keeps them safe. And it's just another one of these miracle salvation stories where God does what is humanly impossible because he can, because he's God, and it gets people's attention. And it's where we are every day of our lives. We don't know it because we've become so sure of our technology, of our brains, of our can-do ability. You know, Americans are great for thinking they can pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and we don't know what to do when all else fails, when we're at the wall like these people were. And we're really at that point every day because of our sin. And that's the point that has to come out here. In this life, we're already in a boat that's falling apart in our trespasses and sins. We have Satan, we have death, we have our own sin, all of these things tossing us about, beating us up, causing us trouble, causing us guilt, and we can do nothing about it. And that's the point that's got to come out here, that the one true God and his Son, whom he sent, Jesus Christ, is our only hope. And the boat we need to be in isn't the boat of this sinful life, but it's the boat of the church, where Christ wraps us in his righteousness, washes us with water that saves us, doesn't drown us, drowns our sins, but saves us, and keeps us safe no matter how often we're tossed, how close we come to perishing. He keeps us safe until he calls us home to be with him forever in heaven. And that's the kind of hope we need. That's the Savior we need. And that's what we face every day without Christ. If we don't have him, we're no different than these people in this boat. No hope.
The angel comes to visit Paul in the night and assures him that he must stand before Caesar in Rome. Now, had God's only purpose here have been to just get Paul to Rome, he could have made Paul the sole survivor of this shipwreck. But remarkably, he preserves every last person there through this storm. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, I think, you know, this is an opportunity for 275 people who don't know the true God to witness him, to hear from him, and to be called to faith by the Holy Spirit, to have to reckon with who they are and their own helpless state in this world. And God uses this whole event that way. And, you know, one of the things that struck me was that they were at a hopeless state. And, you know, sometimes you hear well-intentioned preachers and Christians who want to make you feel guilty because you've lost hope and make you think that God's not going to take care of you if you get to that point, and then put the burden on you to have to believe enough. You know, that somehow if you've given up all hope, you're not, you know, you're really not, you don't have anything. But we got to get to that point. Knowing our sin, there's nothing I can do for my salvation. We've got to be hopeless so that the God of hope, the God of true hope and salvation, can have his way with us and can save us through his Son. And I don't know, Pastor, I know you read Pastor Whedon's blog, and he posted an incredible quote today from Dr. Nagel, another favorite, I think, on this show. And I'd just like to read this because it struck me that this is exactly what's happening here in this Bible story. Dr. Nagel writes, "Jesus' death, the ultimate horror of all history, for your sins. If you can face that, then there is nothing you cannot face, nothing you have to shut out or pretend isn't there in all the hideous, twisted evil that we can see about us. There is no misery that grows deeper than the cross. The crucified one is there and deeper down still. Everything that would destroy us, Jesus has faced. And it did not destroy him, nor does it destroy those who are his." That's the message of this story today, and that's the message that we have to leave with the children. Talk about the exciting, scary storm and the boat ride in it, but leave them at the foot of the cross, clinging to Jesus for the storms in their lives.
And then finally, just a kind of a word, if you would, as an educator of small children, how to deliver this story without giving the kids bad dreams, especially for the little ones. About 30 seconds here.
You don't need to get into all the detail. The older kids will want to get into that, and they'll think it's cool. They've seen the Deadliest Catch show. They know what wind and waves can do. The little ones don't have an experience for it, but you can put them in a blanket and say, "This is our boat, and let's rock back and forth." You can splash water on them. It's not going to be scary for them, and you don't want them to be scared. What you want them to know is that their Lord and Savior Jesus is with them, and he protects them, and he loves them, and he wants them in heaven with him. And the point isn't to scare. The point is to have them look to Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School, Youth, and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday School curriculum that we use as the basis for every week's conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Just give Concordia Publishing House a call toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and you'll find a link right next to our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen to Growing in Christ. issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Pam, thanks very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great week.
And you. Hour two of Issues Etc. is straight ahead on this Monday afternoon, August the 23rd. Dennis DeMauro will join us. We're going to do a brief survey of thought on when life begins. He's secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council and president of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life. His book is called A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us after that for an update on California's marriage protection amendment that is working its way up through the courts, challenged all the way. Shane Rosenthal will join us to round off the second hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. He's producer of the White Horse Inn radio program. He's authored an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled Reflecting Upon Scripture, You're So Vain, You Probably Think This Text Is About You. We'll talk about me-centered biblical interpretation. He says we need a Copernican revolution on how we read the Bible, with ourselves no longer at its center. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.